Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's Friday. You know what time it is. It's time to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. It's brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this Friday. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Good morning, Mike. How are you? Happy Football Friday.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Mike, we're doing great, man. Like you said, the machine, the Pro Football Talk machine never stops. Antonio Brown, I was curious. I know you don't always get caught up in this stuff. What's your thoughts on the old Antonio Brown? And when he's angry, he's obviously addicted to Twitter and he can't help himself, or social media in general. Then he goes, hey, I'm sorry, I was just frustrated. Like it's the NFL's fault what's going on, that he's got all these issues. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, he needs somebody who's going to give him good advice, and he needs to heed any good advice that he gets. And I can't tell whether or not he's just not getting good advice or he's not listening to good advice. But he's frustrated, and he does have a point. The NFL, the way that they've constructed this personal conduct policy with the paid leave twist, the commissioner exempt list, they have Antonio Brown in a spot where he is essentially serving an unpaid suspension because no one will touch him, because no one wants to sign him and then have him immediately land right on the commissioner exempt list, so then they're paying him to not play. So until they resolve this issue that's hanging over him and decide whether or not he will be suspended and what his future will be, he is suspended and he's not getting paid, and they're dragging their feet. And see, yesterday he found out when he's going to finally be interviewed. Something happened yesterday to set him off in the confines of this entire ordeal, and he reacted, and he shouldn't have. And the bigger picture is this: he's going to meet with the NFL next Thursday, and he's going to be asked some tough, pointed questions, and he's going to be upset, and he's going to be angry. And if he reacts, that is going to do him no favors. Whoever has the job of preparing him for that interview next week has a critical, critical function of getting him to understand that he can't get upset, he can't show anger, he can't get frustrated. He has to simply go in there and tell the truth, answer the questions. Don't get mad that he's being asked the questions. Just answer the questions as they are asked and move forward one at a time. I don't know that he can pull it off. See, that's the thing. You can be the person who gives him that advice. You can be the person who works with him and works with him and works with him. But when it comes down to it, I just don't think he's capable of pulling it off. And I think it's going to be a potential disaster for him next Thursday. And, you know, if they ultimately don't believe him, he's accused of sexual assault and rape in the civil lawsuit that was filed on September 10th. If they believe that he committed rape, if the end result is that they believe her and they don't believe him and they believe he committed rape, I don't think he ever plays in the NFL again.
Well, you know, this all goes back. I mean, he could have been playing at least till now till this stuff all popped out, but he's done a lot of this stuff to himself, man. There's no reason. He's not a real good guy as far as looking and taking responsibility for his own stuff, Mike. I guess
I don't disagree with that.
That's
the way the NFL has set this thing up with paid leave, it really does potentially screw a guy who's in a situation like this where a team won't touch him because why do they want to pay him to not play?
Right.
So that's the problem. And the fact that the NFL has no deadlines, has no mandates, has no, you know, you have to get the investigation done by this date or that date, they can just kick the can, and I feel like that's what they're doing. And it's easy to do it when you're talking about somebody who's unsympathetic, and that's the reality. Nobody's going to get up on a soapbox and argue and fight for someone who's been wrong from time to time as Antonio Brown is. So it's the perfect case for the NFL to basically screw a guy and get away with it. And that's kind of what they're doing, and nobody really cares because it's Antonio Brown and he's fallen out of favor pretty much everywhere.
Mike, I want to go to last night's game for just a second, Thursday Night Football. Raiders somehow got themselves back into the mix now in the AFC West. And is it possible that the Chargers are going to join the club that we call down here looking for a quarterback in the offseason club? I mean, I know Phillip Rivers might play another year or two, but they're going to have to look for that backup at this point, or the next coming of Phillip Rivers, right after, especially after last night's game, and he's not been great this season.
Yeah, I think they've been toying with it for the past few years, and now that they're at a spot where his contract's going to expire, it's easy to make that decision. It's easy to move on, and I think they will. I think they will move on. You know, there were some rumors a couple of years ago that they were looking at Deshaun Watson. I remember talk when Marcus Mariota came out that maybe that was a move they would try to pull off, where they could trade with the Titans to get that second overall pick and get Marcus Mariota. I could see Phillip Rivers ending up with a team like the Titans for a year or two. He's still a good quarterback, but with the Chargers, think about it, they're going into that new stadium. It feels like it's run its course. And the one critique I have, I got plenty of critiques about the Chargers, but one big one is they haven't fully embraced the idea that they're in L.A. You know, you have to have substance to be a competitive football team, but you also have to have style. The Rams have style and substance when it comes to their personnel moves. They make these flashes that help the team and also sell tickets. What do the Chargers do that is aimed at building a fan base and selling tickets? And I think they need to go after a Cam Newton, for example, if he's available next year. They need to do something that is really going to get people excited. And Phillip Rivers is not, at this point in his career, going to get anybody excited. And we saw it last night. We saw the low point. 8 straight incompletions on that last drive to end the game. I mean, that tells me that, yes, it's time. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they fall out of contention. They put Tyrod Taylor out there for the last few games of the season just to see what he has before they make a decision about next year.
Mike, can I hit you with the old topic? And I feel like Joe, are you really going to talk about this again? This thing to London. I know we've talked. We all know the problems and stuff. I don't know if that Chargers thing's going to work. They're going to have 15, 20,000. They got no fan base anywhere. Where's their fan base to fill up? It's going to be an embarrassment when it's their home games and this new stadium. How do you fix it?
Well, you develop more fans in L.A. or you don't move to L.A. in the first place, but it's too late now.
Too late now.
You know, when you go to buy a house and you go to the closing and you're signing all the paper, there's always that one piece of paper that you know that once you sign it, that's it. You're done. There's no getting out of it. The Chargers signed the lease for 20 years. 20 years. You think Stan Kroenke's going to let them out? You think Stan Kroenke cares if when the Steelers come to town, it's 80% Steelers fans and 20% Chargers fans? He just wants people to buy tickets and go to the game. That's how he's going to make his money back. The guy who owns the Rams and who owns that stadium has a tenant, and the tenant is the Chargers, and they're playing 10 games every year, and he's not going to let them out of that. Now, here's what I think is happening when we hear the rumors of the Chargers to London or the Chargers to St. Louis or the Chargers back to San Diego. I think the Rams are putting all that out there to keep the Chargers down, to keep people in L.A. who are deciding which team. Think about it. It's very simple. We're going to buy PSLs at the stadium. We're going to buy Rams or we're going to buy Chargers. Which of these two teams are we going to support? Well, I keep seeing all these stories about the Chargers maybe moving again, so I better just go ahead and be a fan of the Rams. And I really do think the Rams are behind all this. They want to keep the Chargers down. They have a clear incentive to keep the Chargers down. And I like the comment from earlier this week from Dean Spanos. I mean, he goes F-bomb, he goes BS-bomb. He's all over the place making sure that people understand they're not moving to London.
See, I thought maybe, and I was thinking something else, and I thought you were going to go with my theory that the owners are going to call him in and go, hey, I know you built this, but hey, man, it's a bad look for the rest of us if your stadium's empty on when you guys are on the road and Chargers are playing at your new stadium, but you don't think that'll be the case.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to do that, you can't just squeeze the guy's arm and not replace the money you'd be taking out of his pocket. You know, if you want to waive his relocation fee, if you want to compensate him, whatever it is. I mean, anything can be negotiated. Yeah. But Stan Kroenke has a pretty important piece of leverage if they would ever try to have that negotiation. He's got a 20-year lease that is going to help pay for this $5 billion. You know, it's the whole comp, and it keeps going up and up. You know how that happens. It's like anything else. You get the original price, and then you commit to it, and then they start building, and it gets more expensive. And if you would have known it was that expensive when you committed to it, you never would have built it.
So when do the London Jaguars start happening then at that point? When did Shad Khan move his team out there?
Well, Shad Khan says he has no plans to. And embedded within that is the potential message that plans change, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, I'm never going to do it. When you say no plans, you are leaving that wiggle room for changing your plans. And he also said he doesn't think it's viable for a team to move to London at all and be there full time. He's got an incentive to say that because he doesn't want to lose his once per year London gravy train.
Right.
He's swapping out a game in Jacksonville that isn't fully attended for a full stadium with a lot of excited people. Remember, he was going to try to buy Wembley Stadium.
That's right.
So, and my first thought when this Chargers to London thing came out, there's always something more going on when a story like this comes out. My thought was that they're trying to get Shad Khan to make a decision as to whether or not he's going to move his team to London, that they want somebody in London. They've kind of given him an unofficial right of first refusal. If he wants to move his team there, that's the team that'll go. But he's dragging his feet, so if he thinks there's another team that may do it, that could get him to move. But that was my first thought. But I finally settled on the idea of the Rams just, you know, trying to take over the L.A. market. But at some point, if there is another team that starts sniffing around London, that's when Shad Khan's plans are going to change. Because I think if anybody's going to move to London, it's going to be the Jaguars. And Shad Khan's going to try to have it both ways until he realizes that there's another team out there that's serious about making the move.
You expect Pat Mahomes to play this week? He's fully participating in practice, right?
Yes. I think he's going to play. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. And, you know, it's been 3 weeks in the day since he had the injury. The range of that injury was 3 to 6 weeks. He's in that range now. Everybody wants to be able to say, well, you know, it's this many weeks. He's going to play here. He's going to play there. Look, it's 3 weeks, and he's recovered well. Mike Vrabel, the coach of the Titans, said earlier this week that they're preparing for Mahomes based upon seeing Mahomes jump and run around after they won the game on a last-second field goal against the Vikings last week. So I fully expect to see Mahomes.
Hey, Mike, before we let you go, Adam Gase, as you know, lost to the Miami Dolphins, and you know what the Dolphins are trying to do down here. You think, even though they owe him a ton of money if they let him go, I think it's a first of a five-year contract, could you see them firing him?
You know, I don't rule out anything in the NFL. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier today on PFT Live. Joe Douglas, the GM, was essentially handpicked by Adam Gase.
That's right.
And Douglas has a six-year contract. I think what's going to happen is Christopher Johnson is going to try to find a way to tread water as long as he can, hopefully turn things around. And then when Woody comes back from the UK, because Woody's serving as the U.S. ambassador, when he comes back, I bet he fires everybody. And wouldn't it be funny if he tried to bring back Rex Ryan?
Wow. Oh. Whoa, that's
Rex,
something.
I don't know if you've watched Rex. Rex has ripped everybody possible that's having a crappy year coaching.
Wow.
He's tough,
Rex,
man.
Rex wants back in. Hey, Rex is the one guy who wants to coach in Washington. Rex would go anywhere. And you guys talked about the Deion Sanders, the Florida State stuff.
Right, of course.
By the way,
morning. Let me tell you something. I hated that when I first heard it. I love that idea. What a recruiter he would be. I think it would be awesome for Florida State, not for any of the teams that play Florida State. I think it could be potentially awesome.
So we agree with that. And by the way, we've been talking about all morning because we got a big Florida State fan base down here, and they have half their team from South Florida, the guys that are playing on that team right now. I agree. Can you imagine? We're going, all right, he's kind of committed to Nick Saban, but hold on, is the Deion's coming? Oh, and you have the whole family come over, and everybody's taking pictures with him and stuff. He gets in every door of every 4- and 5-star kid in the country. I agree with that. But what about all the other stuff?
Well, you hire a bunch of people who know what they're doing. Okay. And on game day, how many big decisions does a coach make on game day? Really? You know, you get a good offensive coordinator, a good defensive coordinator. You put a system in place for everybody to take care of everything else. And then you just decide whether to go for it on fourth down. So, and if you have superior talent, who cares? I mean, that's, you know, Nick Saban's a great college coach because he's got all the best players.
Yeah, he's got 20 first-round picks every year,
right.
Exactly.
Be an interesting situation with Deion Sanders.
Mike, I was going to leave you alone because I didn't know if you wanted to hit that college stuff. But, yeah, this is a splash.
My first thought is this is a joke. It's a waste of time. And then once I started digging into it, it's like, I really, you know, because I'm not a big Deion Sanders fan, frankly. I think he's a little bit of a snake oil salesman. And it's a little bit too much, you know, hype over substance. But, you know, sometimes you need that to close the deal and get the guy to pick your school.
Sounds like a good recruiter the way you just said that. Well done by you.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's how they do it down here in South Florida. If you ain't sleazy, You won't see me.
Right, that's it. Mike, thank you as always.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.